Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and how to live toxic free. And we do that because there's toxic chemicals all around in the world today. But they're not everywhere. There are actually a lot of things that we can do to reduce, minimize, eliminate our exposures to toxic chemicals in every aspect of our lives. And so we talk about where the toxic chemicals are, how you can identify them, and what you can do instead of being exposed to them. Today is Monday, April 7th, 2014, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where the sun is shining and it's a beautiful spring day. And today we're going to talk about salt. Actually, all week this week, we're going to talk about food, except tomorrow. And I didn't plan it that way. It's just, you know, the guests arrive whenever they're available. And so sometimes I just ask someone to be on a show, and they'll say, well, I can only show up on this date, or I ask them to be on a specific date, and I just take them when they can come. So that's the way this week is, that we're having three talking about food, but food is an extremely important thing because we can ingest a lot of chemicals by eating the wrong foods. And also, some foods themselves can be toxic. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about salt. Salt. All we're going to talk about on this show is salt, because it's a big, big issue. We're exposed to salt in, well, if you eat any processed foods or you eat in restaurants, you're exposed to toxic salt. And I'm going to explain that after I introduce my guest. And so it's really about choosing the right kind of salt that will nourish your body instead of the toxic salt that will make you sick. My guest today is Daryl Bosshart, who's from Redmond Incorporated, and they make real salt. You probably have seen that on the shelf in your natural food store, or have tried it yourself, or know somebody who has. It's been around for a long time, and it's really salt. It's not an industrial product. Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Good, Deborah. Thanks for having me on today. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Now, first I want to say that Daryl has been on before. He was here talking about the toothpaste that his company makes called Earth Paste. And you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and look in the archives and listen to that show too. But today we're going to be talking about the salt that they produce. Daryl, why don't you tell us something about your background? I know that some people have already heard it who heard your other show. But you come from a family where your family has been producing salt products for a very long time. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I grew up in central Utah. Back in the 1950s, my grandfather and his brother, their farm wasn't doing all that well, but they knew there was salt underneath their farm because there was a little outcropping of salt north and south of their farm that the American Indians had mined or harvested, you know, long before the settlers came into the valley. And so they knew the salt was there, and the farm wasn't doing so well. And so they moved the cornfield out of the way, and right there in the center of the farm, they started harvesting this natural sea salt from an ancient seabed that had been laid down during the Jurassic era, started selling it primarily to local farmers for their cows and livestock and sheep and whatnot, and then, of course, eating it themselves as well. And what the farmers found is their animals did so much better on this natural mineral sea salt from this ancient seabed than they were doing from some of the, you know, processed current ocean salts that were, you know, being imported into the area. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it got started. And then a few years later, a nutritionist from New York came through. I think he was visiting the Grand Canyon or something. And as he came through, he noticed this salt. And we didn't think much of it. But a few months later, we started getting phone calls from New York looking for salt. And we said, hey, that's great. Yeah, we've got this salt here. Is it for your, you know, farm or for your cows? And they said, actually, no. There's this nutritionist who said that the salt out of your deposit there is the healthiest salt around, and we need to be all using this salt. And so we got a copy of this article, and sure enough, that's what he had said. And so we sat around as a group and said, hey, what do we, you know, call this salt? It's not half salt, it's not fake salt, it's just real salt. And the name stuck. And so that's the name that we've been using for the sea salt, or the natural food salt brand of this ancient seabed salt that we've been, you know, harvesting since the late 50s.
That's such a great story. So now I would like to explain to our listening audience the difference between your salt and the salt that is in practically every salt shaker on the planet. And what it is when just regular salt that you just buy, table salt, is actually a processed industrial chemical. What happens is that this salt, like Daryl has, his family is selling, is in the ground or it's in the sea. And the salt, so wouldn't you say that the salt is, that's underground is the same as the salt in the sea because it originally came from the sea and it's an underground deposit of sea salt, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, and to, because of that, today the term sea salt or salt in general is a bit confusing. And part of that is that any salt, really regardless how it's produced, can be defined as sea salt because it comes from a seabed at one point. It might be the Dead Sea, like the Dead Sea in Israel or some other Dead Seas around the world. It might be from a Dead Sea like the Great Salt Lake here in Utah. It might come from a current ocean like the San Francisco Bay or the Gulf of Mexico. Or it may come from an ancient seabed, a seabed that was trapped, you know, eons ago. And so seawater, though, occurs with many complex chlorides. You know, you go out to the ocean today and find a great clean spot in the ocean, and you take that water, and you're not going to have just pure sodium and chloride. You're going to have some complex chlorides in there, many minerals, actually. Things like potassium chloride, calcium chloride, magnesium, selenium, zinc, all in trace amounts and varying amounts, but there's other minerals there besides just pure sodium chloride. Unfortunately, the industry knows that, and just like if I were a farmer and I had a cow and I was going to milk this cow and I could sell you the cream off of this gallon of milk for top dollar, because cream that you could use to make butter and ice cream and whatever else. And I'm going to take this leftover, you know, milk after I've already taken all the cream off and sell it as a full gallon of milk. As a farmer, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, economically, I've just pretty much doubled the amount of money that I can get off that gallon of milk. If I take the gallon of milk, sell you the cream for top dollar, and then I sell the remaining, you know, white substance that used to be milk left over, why, I've just, you know, really increased my sales. Well, salt companies do the same thing. And if you look at a lot of the operations around the San Francisco Bay or the Gulf of Mexico or these other places where the salt is produced, they use a series of evaporation ponds, or they'll use solution mining and they pull the salt up. And then they'll take out the magnesium chloride, they'll take out the potassium chloride, they'll take out the magnesium chloride, potassium chloride, and calcium chloride are the main three they'll take off, and they can sell those to industry, and they can still sell the remaining sodium chloride left over for normal salt. The problem is the body needs those other minerals and elements to offset sodium. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first real problem with many salts on the market, whether it says sea salt on the label or not, is finding out if the salt has been processed at all. It'd be like buying, you know, an orange after the vitamin C's been taken out, and then selling it as a whole natural orange. And so sometimes you'll hear the words like living or that natural salt is alive, and salt technically isn't, seawater is not technically alive, but in a natural state it's much more living than after you take all the other minerals out, you expose it to high temperatures to drive out moisture, and then you add a series of chemicals to it, the body doesn't recognize the natural salt like it did when it was coming from this natural deposit, be it a current ocean, an ancient seabed, or a Dead Sea.
Yes, so I'm always, my just basic thing is that life is one big system, and our bodies are part of this big system of nature. And all the minerals and plants and animals and everything is all part of nature. And that our bodies really have been created to be nourished by all these things that are in nature. And I'll continue on with that thought after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Daryl Bosshart. And we're talking about salt. So come back. Stay tuned. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Daryl Bosshart from Real Salt, and we're talking about the difference between real salt and the salt that you get in the salt shaker. And what I was saying before the break is that we live in a system where it's a whole system of living things, that our bodies are all tied into this system, and everything that's in the environment are the things that our bodies are designed to eat. And when you take something like real salt, which is part of the earth, and you eat that, then our bodies know how to recognize it. When you take the salt from wherever it's coming from in the earth and put it through an industrial process where there's, as Daryl said, all kinds of heat, and you remove the other cofactors that are surrounding it, the sodium chloride, and you end up with just this pure sodium chloride, which is really a processed industrial chemical, and you put that in your body doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't recognize it, and it just is the same as putting any other industrial chemical in your body, and it can be just as toxic. And so when people talk about the health effects of eating salt, like high blood pressure and things like that, it's your body's normal reaction to eating something that shouldn't be there in the first place. That's my opinion.
Well, and what's interesting, Deborah, I think it's more than just an opinion, because I think probably almost all of the listeners have heard that salt's bad for us. Whether it was on TV or the mayor of New York, or maybe even your own, you know, cardiologist or something, has said salt's bad. And before I make this next statement, I do want to say that, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not practicing medicine, and you know, I'm not making any claims here. But what's interesting is, anytime you have, you know, somebody that says, "Hey, salt's bad for you," but yet the first thing that's going to happen when you go to the hospital, or the EMTs or paramedics show up and haul you to the hospital, is they're going to hook you up to an IV. And this IV they're going to hook you up to is an IV of saline solution,
right?
Which is salt water. In fact, any IV other than salt water would be disastrous. If they hooked you up to an IV of distilled water, or an IV of Coca-Cola, or an IV of anything besides, even an IV of spring water is going to be disastrous to the body. That IV has to be a saline solution. And 99% of the time, that saline solution is going to be primarily sodium and chloride. There are a few examples where you might get a potassium chloride-based IV, but for the most part, that's going to be a sodium and chloride-based IV with some other electrolytes. And so what's interesting, you know, you hear salt's bad for you, but yet your body will not function without salt. And without salt, you actually will die. And so the key is to getting the right salt in the right, you know, amount that then can balance the body, like the IV in the hospital, versus destroy the body, like some of the processed chemical salts that we hear so much about.
Yes, I would agree with you on that. And I was just looking at some articles online during the break. I've read a lot about salt, and I know, and I've changed from, I mean, obviously, I think most people, well, I know for myself, I was born and in just into our normal American way of doing things. And so I ate a lot of processed salt in my life until I started learning about the health effects of eating that kind of salt. And I switched over to eating natural salt like yours. And I'll just say that I've been eating your real salt since you've been on the show with me some months ago, and I love it. I love it. I love it. And my body loves it. And I really love your garlic salt. I put that on my salad every day.
You know, not to to change the subject there, but because you did mention our seasoning line, something that I think is really fun about that, not only does the natural salt, is it good for you, but it also actually tastes a whole lot better, and the seasonings is a good example of that. Unfortunately, a lot of your seasonings today will have things like MSG added. They'll, you know, if you're celiac, there's all kinds of fillers and stuff that are added to a lot of seasoning salts on the market, and one of the reasons that you add MSG is to, it's a flavor enhancer. But if you have a natural salt, like the real salt, and then you add some natural organic freeze-dried garlic to it, you can get a flavor profile that's absolutely amazing.
It is.
With ingredients that's just natural ancient sea salt and organic freeze-dried garlic, and you don't have to add all those other fillers in there, and you still have an amazing, tasty, and healthy product.
Well, I can vouch for that. And there is, now I'm somebody who really likes food. I enjoy cooking. I enjoy eating food. I want it to taste good. And when I first started eating natural salt with all the minerals in it, it actually has a flavor to it instead of it just being, I find table salt now to be really harsh. But there's a gentleness, I don't quite know how to describe it. There's just a gentle saltness, there's a mineralness to it that enhances the flavor of the food. And it does make the flavors of the food itself taste more alive. And anybody who's interested in having things taste good should immediately switch to natural salt because it does make your foods taste better.
And there's actually two reasons for that, quite scientific reasons. And the first is that if you have a traditional table salt or a traditional sea salt that's almost 100% sodium chloride that's been refined and heated and things like that, you're tasting this very sharp flavor. But a lot of your natural salts, whether you buy the real salt, which is, of course, I'm a little biased towards, but there's also other good brands. Another favorite I have is a brand called Celtic from the Grain and Salt Society.
I like that too.
I know the owner of that company. Her name's Selena. She's a wonderful lady. Great product. Or the Himalayan salt that comes out of Pakistan.
I like
also
that
a good
too.
Product line. With any of those, in addition to the sodium and chloride, you have about 2.5 to 3% trace mineral that's included in the sodium and chloride. And those trace minerals help soften that sodium bite that you get if it's 100% pure sodium and chloride that's been refined. So those other trace minerals, potassium, magnesium, calcium, selenium, they do soften the flavor quite a bit. And actually, the reason that there are some difference in taste versus the Celtic and the Himalayan, the real salt. They all have about the same number of minerals, but those ratios can be a little off. And so the Himalayan generally tastes a little more earthy. Ours has a little sweeter flavor to it. The Himalayan has a little higher sulfur content, which is good, but it just has that little bit of flavor difference. So that's the first aspect. And then I'm not sure if we have time to go into the additives in salt now,
actually,
or if we
you know what?
After the
Let's
break.
Take a break, and then we'll go into the additives in salt when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Daryl Bosshart from Real Salt, and that is, I believe, realsalt.com. You can go to their website and find out all about their salt. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Daryl Bosshart from Real Salt. And before the break, we were about to talk about additives in salt. So tell us about those, Daryl.
Yeah, so in addition to the fact that a lot of the salts have been stripped of many of their minerals, that alone can make the salt bitter, one of the other things that can impact that flavor, not only the flavor but also the health, is that there are a number of additives that are typically added to salt and added to sea salt. Again, I want to keep driving that point home because I think sometimes consumers, and rightly so, would go into a health food store or their grocery store and they have heard that sea salt is better, so they'll pick up a quote-unquote sea salt. But yet if you look at the back of that sea salt, it can have just as many or more additives than a lot of your, you know, table salt. So the term sea salt doesn't mean what it used to mean. But some of the additives that are added to salts today are things like sodium bicarbonate. Now, that's just baking soda, not too bad. But there's also some kind of mean ones. One of the standard ones that are added is something called yellow prussiate of soda. That is
what
also
is that?
Known as anti- What's
that? I've never heard of that. What is it?
sometimes on the back of a salt canister, you will see that listed as anti-caking agent E535. And if you Google search yellow prussiate of soda or anti-caking E535, the chemical name for that is actually sodium ferrocyanide. And that's actually a very common additive in many salts. And some brands that I could mention here have that, that you're probably very aware of. And the problem with sodium ferrocyanide, that's really sodium, iron, and cyanide.
Right.
And that's a very strong toxin to the body in that combination. In fact, there's an MSDS, material safety data sheet, on all of these chemicals that are added to salt. And sodium ferrocyanide is a pretty mean one. It's known to cause all kinds of problems. Now, the reason that's approved as a salt additive is it's in trace amounts, and in those trace amounts, one dose probably isn't going to hurt you immediately. But as many of your listeners on a toxic, you know, radio program would be aware of, is that that can accumulate over time, or, you know, daily exposure to something like sodium ferrous cyanide is not something you want to be shaking on your eggs or your, you know, celery or your cucumbers or your tomatoes on a daily basis.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Not at all.
And the reason that, so the reason that we add, or that we don't, but the reason a lot of salt companies will add these other chemicals to salt is salt by nature is hygroscopic. Hygroscopic is kind of a fancy chemistry word that means absorbs moisture. It's kind of like a dehumidifier. And because of that, salt will tend to get lumpy or sticky and damp if it's left to its own devices, which
is no problem. I have experienced that with natural salt. And so it just kind of sticks in the salt shaker. But what I do is I just kind of bang it on the counter and it breaks up. Or another thing that people do is that they put like rice or something in with the salt. I've seen that in restaurants, that the salt shakers and the sugar containers have rice mixed into them to keep them from caking.
And either of those options are much better than putting a little bit of sodium ferrous cyanide in with your salt. And so the reason that these things, another common additive that's put in many salts, and if you are a home listener, go ahead and open your kitchen cupboard and grab your shaker of salt or your canister of salt and flip that over and kind of see what ingredients are listed, if any. Hopefully there's not. But another one you'll often see is one called sodium silicoaluminate. Now, that is somewhat similar to the antiperspirant agent that's added into antiperspirants. It's an aluminum-based chemical there, and it's a water repellent, anti-moisture, which is why it's in an antiperspirant. And again, if you took two licks of your antiperspirant in the morning before breakfast, I'm sure you'd have some water retention and some blood pressure issues, and yet we shake this onto our food, you know, a couple times throughout the day, and we wonder why salt's gotten this bad rap.
Well, it's not necessarily the salt. It's salt and toxic chemicals. So, Daryl, now one of the things that keeps coming up in articles about salt is that they're talking about excessive salt. And I think that, like, doctors are always wanting you to lessen your salt intake. But I think what they're talking about is people who are eating a lot of processed foods are eating a lot of salt because those foods have a lot of salt in them. But that doesn't mean that if you're not eating processed foods that you shouldn't be eating salt. But as you said before, salt is vital to being alive. So what do you have some advice, again, not being a doctor, but do you have some advice about how much salt our bodies need on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the resource that there's two great books, and if any of your listeners would really like to get the full story on salt, two books that I would highly recommend. One was written years ago by a doctor named Dr. Batman Gelly. His book was called Your Body's Many Cries for Water.
I love that book.
He had another one called You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty that was excellent as well.
Yes.
And in his book, one of the things that he talks about is adding a quarter teaspoon of salt to every quart of water that you drink. And part of that is kind of a fun discussion. If you went in to the hospital today and you wanted a 1 liter of saline solution because you're a little bit dehydrated or you're not feeling well, or for any reason you walk into the hospital, they're going to hook you up to an IV of saline solution. That liter, when you get your bill back from the hospital, is going to be probably several hundred dollars for that 1 liter of solution, which is basically about a quarter teaspoon of salt in a quart of water. And so you could save yourself a lot. And in Dr. Batman Gelly's book, he recommends that you salt your food liberally, natural salt, of course. And then for every quart of water that you're drinking throughout the day, you add a quarter teaspoon of salt to that quart of water.
In addition to the salt that you put on your food?
Yes, in his book, uh-huh.
Wow, because I do drink water by the quart. If you were here, you would see that I have glass bottles of water that I fill with my filtered water that I filter at home, and it's just always on my desk, and I'm sitting here all day long. I probably drink 3 or 4 quarts of water as I'm sitting here working, especially in the summer, especially in Florida.
Yeah. Well, and that's really important. I think, you know, one thing that Dr. Batmanghelli points out in his books is that probably almost everybody, there's probably some exceptions to that, and you sound like you may be one of those, is that we're walking around dehydrated. And in his book and others have said that at a minimum, we should probably be drinking about half our body weight in ounces because you perspire, you cry, you sweat, on all of that, your tears are salt water. Your sweat is salt water. Your urine is salt water. And so you are burning through salt all the time throughout the day. And on days, particularly on hot summer days, if you're out working in the yard or out running or doing whatever, you are burning through at least about a gram of salt every hour. And if you don't replace that, you're going to start to have issues.
I need to interrupt you, but that is an excellent point because we talk about losing water, but we don't talk much about losing salt. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Daryl Bosshart, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Daryl Bosshart of Real Salt, and that's realsalt.com. And I eat their salt every day. I also eat some other salts, but I do eat Real Salt every day. And I especially like the garlic salt. I said they have a seasoning salt and an onion salt, and it's their wonderful salt mixed with organic ingredients. And just the salt by itself is really great as well. And you can go find out more about it at their website. I was thinking, I just thought it would make a wonderful gift if you're ever wanting to give somebody a gift who likes food, to give a set of their seasoning salts, I think would be a great thing. I remember one Christmas I introduced everybody I knew to organic oranges, and just having a new taste sensation, people really liked that. And I think this would make a great gift. I'd be very happy to get this as a gift. Anyway, so before the break, we were talking about how to replenish your salt needs from drinking a lot of water or heat or, you know, just the things that our bodies do every day, like crying and sweating and things like that. And I just wanted to repeat that because I think that's a really, really important thing. I know I'm sitting here drinking three or four quarts of water a day, as I said, but I do put a lot of salt on my food, not tons of salt, but like a nice sprinkle. I would say that each of my meals has a nice sprinkle of salt. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, you know, I think the important thing is listening to your body talk, you know, listening to what your body's needs are. And everybody's going to have a different need,
right?
Obviously. You know, somebody that's a marathon runner is going to be burning through a lot more salt and a lot more fluid than maybe somebody like me who is, you know, in a desk, unfortunately, more often than I'd like to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we each have different needs. And there's another great book. I mentioned Batmanghelli's. There's another one that was written by an MD who's actually practices up in Detroit, great natural MD. His name's Dr. David Brownstein, and his book is called Salt, Your Way to Health.
Yes, another great book.
Just the title seems so dramatically different from what we hear that salt is going to give us all these health problems. And here's an MD who is actually prescribing salt to his patients and helping them, as he says in his book, salt their way back to health. But again, it's the right kind of salt, and it's in the right form. Again, like you pointed out before, if you're eating a lot of processed foods, you're getting so much processed salt with that, you know, your body's going to have some overload issues, not only with the processed salt there, which is a small ingredient, but just the processed food in general is going to link to many health problems as a whole.
Yes. Now, I want to make sure I have a question I want to make sure we get to, and we're getting to the end of the show, so I'm going to ask you right now. Now, if somebody, well, first I'll say, if you want to know that you have pure salt with nothing else in it, you can, of course, buy real salt and know that you're going to get that. You can buy Himalayan salt, the original Himalayan salt, and know you're going to get that. You can buy Celtic sea salt and know that you're going to get that. But so often, it will say, especially in the natural food store, it'll say sea salt on the label. And we can't really know what that sea salt is. And so could you tell us more about how it might not be the kind of salt that you're talking about that you sell?
Yeah, you know, I think there's really just about three questions that a consumer would need to ask themselves when they go buy salt, and I would suggest these same three questions could be used almost for anything you're going to ever purchase. And the first is, know who's actually producing it. You know, so often today, the traceability in our food becomes difficult, if not impossible. And if there's a way to know the person that's actually producing the or has the farm that's raising the eggs, I would much rather, you know, buy from somebody local or someone that I actually can see their chickens and know they're free range and know mm-hmm. they're not being treated with all kinds of stuff
yeah.
than just getting them in some blank generic box out of a grocery store. And so I always encourage people to find out who's producing it. And that can be a little difficult with some products, salt being one of those. You walk in, if you buy a store brand or some just generic brand, it's kind of hard to know where that salt's coming from. And you see that with the Himalayan today. You know, unfortunately, you walk in the stores and now there's all kinds of different brands of Himalayan. It kind of makes it hard to know who is processing the salt correctly, who's not using explosives, and who's not using, you know, child labor and things like that. And so I would always encourage, first off, to buy from a company that you can find out and know and trust. Do a little research and find out, and whether you use the original Himalayan salt, the Celtic, Real Salt, those are three brands that I use and trust, all three of those. But that would be the first thing. The second question would be to find out what they're taking out of the salt. Find out, and it's kind of hard to see that on the label sometimes, but you can find out if there are other minerals in the salt or if it's pure, refined process. And you can, you know, if the salt pours out of the shaker and it's perfectly 100% identical BD crystals, you know that's not the way that occurred in nature. Typically, salt should have some variation. The crystals should all look a little bit different. It should look unique, like more like snowflakes than like mm-hmm. this manufactured BD product. And then after you find out if they've taken anything out or if they've heated it, you know, put it through a kiln furnace, find out if they've added anything back to it. Find out if they've tried to, you know, make it look pretty and to flow smooth by adding some of these chemicals we talked about today. And I think if you know your source, find out what they're doing to it. They're taking anything out or putting anything back in. You'll often find you'll end up with some great products, and that would apply both for toothpaste, for salt, for, you know, any food item that you're purchasing and or even topically going to be using for yourself or your family. I think those are three great questions that could lead you most of the time to clean, quality products that you can feel good about using for yourself and your family.
I completely agree with you. And see, this is one of the reasons why I invite people like you to come be on the show so we can get to know you. And, you know,
well,
I
appreciate
do,
you having me on.
You know, I do, every time I use your salt, I do think of you. I think of our interview and I remember what you said about the salt and it just is nice for me in the same way that I know the woman who made my bed and I know the sheep that gave their wool to put in my mattress and things like that. And so I completely agree with you. It makes a big difference to know that. And I know your integrity and your intent. And so when I see your product on the shelf, then I know I can recognize that it's not advertising. It's not because I saw a commercial on TV. It's because I talked to you. And I think that everybody, that's how transparent all products should be. That's what I think. And I think it would be a better world if we had that. So one other thing I wanted to say, though, is that if you see the word sea salt, not necessarily on a brand of salt, because you can go into a store and it'll say sea salt on the salt package, and it may have other things in it. But then when you go that next step and buy, like, pasta salt sauce and it says sea salt on it, there's just no way for us to know, I think, because the manufacturers, even if you called the manufacturer of that sounds funny, call the manufacturer of a food, the manufacturer of a pasta sauce, they're going to say, well, we just bought sea salt in a 55-gallon drum, and they don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you know, that is a bit unfortunate, and I don't know if you're from there. There are a few companies that are getting a little better about disclosing those ingredients. And if a manufacturer is just looking to put sea salt on their label, chances are they're going to buy the, unfortunately, the cheapest, most likely processed sea salt that they can find just because they want to put it on their label, not because they really care about the food. One company, though, and maybe you're familiar with them, and maybe they'd be a potential guest for you next time, there's a company called One Degree Organic, and it's a really kind of a neat company. They're an organic and vegan product line. They've got breads and cereals and things like that. But when you buy their product, there's a little barcode on the back. You can scan it, and it will bring up a little video that shows you the quinoa farmer in Mexico and shows you the raisin, the grape producer, and a little video of them talking about why their grapes or why their quinoa. It's a neat company. It's called One Degree Organic. I can send you the company's name.
I'll
have him on your show. It's a really neat concept.
I've seen that on some other kinds of products, not food products, but like I had someone on where he was making yoga mats in a very unique way in India, and his site has, and I've forgotten the name off the top of my head, but it's in the archives. His site has a video and pictures of the people actually making the mats, and you see them in their, where they actually are in India, weaving them. And it's that kind of information I think we should have for every product so that we know. We've only got about a minute left. So is there any final words that you want to say that we haven't covered?
No, I think, you know, I appreciate you having me on, and I do think salt is a very important topic and one that can make a big difference. The book Salt, Your Way to Health is a great place to start, I think, to understand the importance of salt. And if I could leave with it just anything, it would be to not write off salt, but not be scared of salt. And now there are some with maybe some salt sensitivities or kidney issues, and then that's going to kind of change this discussion entirely. But for the most part, I agree with Dr. David Brownstein, and most of us should be salting our way back to health with the right kind of salt and good clean water.
Thank you so much for being here today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. My guest has been Daryl Bosshard from Real Salt, and that's realsalt.com. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and listen to this show again or listen to any of the other past shows. I'm Deborah Lee.